Thank you, Andy, and good morning again to everybody. It is nice to see everyone here. Brethren, in today's society, we find that people, including all of us here, seem to be busier than ever, don't we? We scurry about all day long, from when we wake up in the morning to when we lay our heads down on our pillows at night. And that's because people today, and like I said, that includes all of us, want things done right now. We don't want things done 15, 20 minutes from now, half hour from now. We like things done quickly, and we don't want to have to really wait for things, do we? We look for the express line in the grocery store and try to sneak in those extra 2 to 3 items that exceed that limit. You know, the first couple lanes are, you know, it might say like the limit of 7 items in the grocery store to go through the line, or 9. And you may have like 10, 11, or 12. But you thought, well, I can get through that line, right? Or you make an appointment for that guaranteed 15-minute or less oil change for our car, because we don't want to have to wait. Or we use the drive-through window at any various fast food chain and then eat that meal in our car, sometimes while we are driving, instead of actually sitting down to eat it. Many people want goods and services today quickly. We want them now, and we don't want to have to wait for anybody or anything. But what happens to us when things don't go our way? What happens to our behavior? What happens to our attitude? What happens to our thinking? We become impatient, don't we? Maybe you need to listen to this, Andy, from driving up this morning. When we get caught up in that rush hour traffic, or held up at every single street light when we need to be at the doctor's appointment 2 minutes ago, if we can't find a break to pass the slow driver in front of us because we took the shortcut to work, say, in the morning, when you know it's not the usual route that you would go. You go the highway, but you say, well, I'm going to take this road because it's shorter. Well, then you get behind a person and it actually ends up taking longer. Or like I said, in the grocery store again, when it seems like on a Friday, if you're there on a Friday and like I was a couple weeks ago, every single line seems to be a few carts back and you have to wait. These, and I'm sure many thousands more types of situations arise at any given point in the day for all of us. But do we lose our cool? Do we let our human emotions get the better of us? Do we indeed become impatient? And I bet we all practice patience and care when dealing with other people, don't we? Do we quietly listen to our spouse as he or she complains about the blow-up situation that happened at work on that day, and how they had to clean up whatever it is that they had to deal with? And do we exemplify patience, especially with our children, especially when each other is getting on each other's nerves, and that in turn gets on the nerves of their parents? They may be fighting, they may be arguing. If you didn't already know, my split sermon today will focus on the subject of patience, or being patient. It's listed in Galatians 5 as one of the fruit of the Spirit. Patience is translated differently in many biblical passages and translations. It is sometimes referred to as long-suffering, and sometimes in other places as forbearance. But all three of these words, patience, long-suffering, and forbearance, all translate to pretty much the same way, as we'll see going forward. Now, like I said, listed forth among the fruit of the Spirit is this human quality that translates to long-suffering. It is translated this way in some Bible versions, like I said, including the King James and the New King James versions, and translated patience in others like the NIV, the Revised Standard Version, and the NASB Bible, if you have one of those. The word patience, as we use it in everyday speech, actually stands for several different words, found in the Greek and the New Testament. They are used to describe a godly reaction to a variety of situations. And these different words and usages blend together to produce an overall quality that we like to call patience. Now, the first Greek word that we'll look at today is called hupomone. Hupomone, and it is translated patience in almost every Bible version, and it implies patient endurance. The other Greek word is even more interesting, I think, and it is makrothumia. Makrothumia. And this word is also translated patience in some Bible versions, but more accurately as long-suffering in others. Now, the Greek word makro, which is M-A-K-R-O, which gives us our English prefix macro, M-A-C-R-O, means large or long. The root word thumos means temper. Therefore, macrothumia literally means long-tempered, or the opposite of having a short temper or a short fuse, so to speak. So in both of these Greek word definitions, we see this trend appear that in order for a Christian to have this quality about them called patience or long-suffering, one must endure through personal trials and situations patiently, all while continuing to not let our emotions get the better of us. A truly patient Christian must display godly patience in all various forms and circumstances that do require it. And if we desire to grow in patience, we must give attention to every facet of this quality as it applies to our daily lives. Now, speaking of definitions, I just went over to the two Greek ones. Let's take a look at five different definitions that the Merriam-Webster Dictionary gives for the word patient. If you look up patient in the dictionary, these would be the five definitions. The first one is bearing pains or trials calmly and without complaint. Number two, manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain. Number three, not hasty or impetuous. Number four, steadfast despite opposition, difficulty, or adversity. And the fifth one is able or willing to bear. Those were all definitions that the Merriam-Webster Dictionary gives to patient. Now, in the time that I have today, what I'd like to do is take each one of these five definitions and turn them into a point that I'll go over with. So I'll be going over five points or aspects of patience by correlating them to these five definitions that I just read. And hopefully, at the end of this message, we'll all have a better picture, a better understanding of this fruit of the Spirit called patience, and how to properly use it in our lives each and every day. So the first Merriam-Webster definition for patience was bearing pains or trials calmly, or without complaint. So my first point, point number one that I have, is patience while suffering abuse. Patience while suffering abuse. Now, this first point illustrates our need to endure, and we'll see throughout this split sermon that in order to be patient and to have this vital character trait, a person must exercise endurance. So, like I said, the first point illustrates our need to endure some type of mistreatment or abuse. This could be mental or physical abuse that a person would endure. Either or, it doesn't really matter. Now remember that the second Greek word definition that I explained a little bit earlier in reference to patience, makrothumia was a Greek word, and it meant long-tempered, the opposite of short-tempered or having a short fuse. Well, in enduring some type of abuse at the hands of others was called long-suffering in the Bible. And that's how it is often translated. Like I said earlier, there are different Bible versions, and the Greek word is translated differently. But in regards to suffering abuse, I believe long-suffering, the word long-suffering, describes it the best way. Now, this aspect of patience is the ability to suffer a long time while being mistreated without growing resentful, angry, or bitter. That is the key here. That's what we need to remember and take away from this. If you would, open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, and we'll start here at the end of the chapter where the fruit of the Spirit are actually talked about. Now, just before here, they are mentioned in Galatians 5, and we'll read verses 19 through 21. The Apostle Paul starts off by referring to our human nature as the flesh, and our selfish tendencies as the works of the flesh. These include hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, and murder. Clearly, none of us want to be associated with these types of human characteristics, so we need the antidote for these traits, which is God's Spirit dwelling in all of us. Paul went on to say here in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." That is a big contrast to the works of the flesh that I just mentioned, isn't it? And all these beautiful virtues work together to support one another. And right here in the middle of this topic of the discussion today is that word long-suffering that I just read. So the Apostle Paul is telling us here that these are what we are supposed to be doing. We are to let these fruits become a part of who we are, a part of our daily lives, as we are led by God's Holy Spirit, which means we are to exercise patience while suffering long, while suffering some type of mistreatment towards us. And the occasions to exercise patience are numerous, aren't they? Have you ever been ridiculed or even made fun of at work because your lifestyle is different than everyone's around you? Do they say or do things that demean you as a person just because you obey God's laws? You go to church on Saturday. You attend the Sabbath day. Who does that anymore, right? People go to church on Sunday. You don't eat pork products. You don't take God's name in vain. You don't steal. And you don't try to get in trouble or act inappropriately. True Christians suffer various degrees of wrongs committed against us, from the malicious all the way down to the seemingly innocent practical jokes that people think are funny. They can include ridicule, insults, scorn, rebukes, and many more. The important thing is that a Christian who is a victim of such abuse must and should react with long-suffering, with patience. We all must put into practice macrothumia and being long-tempered. If you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul, when describing to the Ephesians here, a life worthy of God's calling includes the trait of long-suffering. So for those who are called by God to walk a different path, need to have and also demonstrate this trait of being patient while suffering long. Here in verse 1 it says, "And I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with," and there's that word, "long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now again, some translations will render it "be patient" instead of "with long-suffering." But I think that this word long-suffering really characterizes the feeling, the attitude, and the mindset of what Paul was trying to say here. So those who walk worthy of their calling suffer long, and when faced with wrongs, or even when things don't go their way. Paul mentions to Timothy directly of patience while suffering mistreatment in 2 Timothy 3. If you would turn there with me to 2 Timothy 3. And we'll start in verse 10. Here he says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me in Antioch, in Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me." So even though he went through trials, even though he went through persecutions, he was, in fact, delivered. See how Paul ties together long-suffering and patience with persecutions and afflictions here. That is a very hard thing for any person to do, isn't it? But, he says, God delivered him out of those situations. So in order for us to overcome various situations, we need to develop patience. That's how we grow in this aspect, while under ill treatment by others. The last point I'd like to make on this point number one, patience while suffering abuse, is found in 1 Peter 2. In 1 Peter 2, Jesus Christ, as we know, is a prime example of one who suffered greatly at the hands of others. But notice how he reacted here. In 1 Peter 2, and I'll start in verse 23. It says, "Who," talking about Jesus Christ, "when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." It's not in our human nature to want to get, it's in our human nature to want to get back, isn't it, brethren? To take revenge on whoever hurts us, isn't it? But it says here to commit ourselves to him who judges righteously. So the opposite of retaliating for being impatient would be to entrust things to God. Lay our grievances on him and know that he will take care of it. Sometimes this takes patience as well on our part because God isn't always on the same timetable as we are. But we just need to be confident in him. It's a difficult but amazing quality to have, in fact, to truly develop patience when we're being mistreated by others. But that is exactly what we need to be doing. Let's move on now to point number two, which is patience while being provoked. Patience while being provoked. Now, being provoked is different from suffering mistreatment by others. How? Well, the word provocation, or to provoke, is used to denote the actions of others that tend to arouse our anger or wrath, which can, if we are not careful and use that enduring patience, can cause us to want to lose our temper. So in our Bibles, the aspect of patience referred to as long-suffering is sometimes used to describe the response of a person or persons who are being provoked by others. But unlike point number one that we just went over, where we may not be in a controlling situation to speak, in this point of being patient while being provoked often finds us in a position of power to do something about the situation we are faced with. So whatever the other person or party is doing to provoke us, which is often sometimes deliberate, we are in a position to retaliate or to punish them right away. This is where that Greek word makrothumia, meaning long-tempered, comes into play again. This is where we as Christians need to display the needed characteristic of long-suffering and not become short-tempered. If you think about it for a second, who comes to mind as having the greatest amount of patience? Who is willing to, despite the millions and millions of mistreatments and provocations against, does not lose their temper so quickly, but is kind, loving, patient, and long-suffering? Well, the only answer to this question is our Heavenly Father. He bears with great patience the provocation of sinful, rebellious men and women who show no consideration for His authority and ignore His laws. But God is the opposite of rash or harsh or swift. And the key here that we all need to remember is to seek and develop God's own trait of being slow to anger. If you would, turn with me to Matthew 18. In Matthew 18, we will read the parable of the unforgiving servant. This parable is meant to help us recognize our need for patience toward others, and also recognize the patience of God towards us as well. So Matthew 18, we'll begin reading in verse 21. It says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven," going into the parable now, "is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now that seems like quite a bit of money. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded him to be sold, with his wife and children and all that he had, and that the payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me,'" there's that word patience, "'and I will pay you all.' Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion. He released him and forgave him of his debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Again, it seems like quite a bit of money. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe me.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me,' just like the other servant had done to his master, 'until he should pay him his debt.' So when his fellow servant saw, until he can pay what he owes, but he didn't, and he threw him in prison until he should pay his debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him." That 10,000 talents. So what can we take away? What can we learn from this parable, brethren? Well, we can see upon further investigation that the king referred to here in verse 23 represents God. As it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king. And who resides in the kingdom of heaven except God? The servant represents each one of us and our relationship to God as sinners. Now, as the parable develops, the first servant is completely forgiven of his debt by the king because he begged for patience to pay the debt that he owed. The king had compassion and forgave. That was 10,000 talents. How huge a debt was that, do you think? Well, I did some mathematical calculations for all of you. One talent, one single talent would equal 60 minas. Now one mina equals 3 months' wages, 3 whole months' wages. So one talent would equal 60 times that 3 months' wages, which calculates out to 180 months' wages. So one talent would equal 180 months' wages divided by 12 months in a year, which comes out to 15 years' wages. That seems like a lot. So in fact, one talent equaled 15 years' wages. 10,000 talents, then, according to the parable, would equal 150,000 years' wages. So, in making a comparison here, if you had a 40-hour-a-week job and you were just making minimum wage, which in here in New York State is $7.25 an hour, your yearly gross salary would be $15,080. That's gross, before taxes are taken out. Now, $15,080 times 150,000 years' wages would equal $2,262,000,000 in today's terms. That's a lot of money. That's how big the debt of the king, who we know to represent God here, forgave his servant. So we see here that no matter how much or how many times we do something to displease God, he is always patient. He is always long-suffering with us, and he is always willing to forgive us. But then, after the first servant leaves, he finds his fellow servant who owed him money, 100 denarii, as we read. Now, how much is 100 denarii, you ask? Well, I did some more calculations. From the Bible, we can find out that just 1 denarii equals 1 day's wages. So, using the same formula, we can calculate that 1 day's wage would be $58 before tax again, if you were making that minimum wage of $7.25 an hour. So $58 a day times 100 days would come out to $5,080. That's how much the first servant did not forgive his fellow servant. So in comparison to the amount of money that the first servant owed the king, the fellow servant only owed a few $100. Really, what is $5,080 compared to $2,262,000,000? There's no comparison there. But the first servant was impatient, wasn't he? He immediately demanded payment, and when the fellow servant could not pay him and pleaded for patience, the first servant threw him in jail. The same scenario played out between the two servants, but with different outcomes. We can be like that unmerciful servant when we lose our patience under provocation, brethren. So we need to look out for this in our lives, and when a situation arises that would normally lead us to do something rash, we need to think about this parable and instead demonstrate long-suffering and patience. Let's continue now to point number 3, which is patience while tolerating others. Patience while tolerating others. Now, this type of patience is needed to overlook certain circumstances we find ourselves in when other people behave in a way that, while not directly affecting us, affects us and irritates us or disappoints us in some way. We all know what it feels like to have someone irritate us, right? Or no? You've never gotten irritated before? Maybe it's the driver in front of you that is driving too slowly. Or maybe it's the driver behind you that just won't get off your back bumper, even though they can just pass around you on the highway. Maybe it's the friend of yours that always keeps you waiting over and over again, even though both of you agree to meet at a certain place and a certain time. And they've done this many times over many years. And more often than not, it's the actions by our family members who irritate and disappoint us the most. This usually happens between spouses. When there is that close daily association and you can pick up on the little things here and there that just seem to drive you crazy. It's not that your significant other is deliberately trying to irritate you, I hope, but that's just how it seems. So, who is it in your family that always makes sure that every last bit of toothpaste is pushed up to the front of the toothpaste nozzle so that they can get at it? And who is the one that just doesn't simply care? They can just squeeze wherever they want to and get some toothpaste out, and that's fine with them. Or who is it that puts butter on their toast and then uses that exact same knife to dip it in the jelly and put that on the toast, leaving butter in the jelly jar? It may be comical, but these things do irritate some people. These actions, and I'm sure many others, are the ones that we need to watch out for and have patience with. The kind of patience it takes to overlook these actions and others like them is probably the best described in the Bible by the word forbearance, or being forbearing. The word means to put up with. It can be used in a negative sense to endure another person's faults. But the Apostle Paul uses this word in the sense of tolerating one another and being tolerant of their faults. We'll look at a chapter and verse we read earlier before. So if you would, go back to Ephesians 4, starting in verse 2. But this time we'll notice another word contained herein. It says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, that we read earlier and talked about. Bearing, and there's that word bearing here, with one another, in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. With all lowliness and gentleness. Oh, I read that. Excuse me. The NASB says it in this way, showing tolerance for one another in love. And again, other translations have the word forbearing here as well. So we see that forbearance is the act of not being impatient with others. Instead, we remain patient and tolerant of others. Little quirks. It's a quality that we all must have as we let patience grow in our lives. One other scripture that demonstrates forbearing is found in Colossians 3:13. In Colossians 3:13, starting at verse 12 here, actually, it says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and there's that word, long-suffering, that we read about. And then in verse 13, it starts off with bearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Paul is referring here to a character trait that we all need to be spiritually clothed with. And one of these traits is forbearance, being tolerant of others. Another, which is being long-suffering, which we discussed earlier. Brethren, we need to stop looking at our faults in others and those habits that seem to irritate us. We must not let these things turn into quarrels. Think about it. How many quirks do you have, or I have, that God would like to get rid of in our lives when He looks down at us? God expects us to graciously bear with the weakness of others, tolerating them, forgiving them, even as he forgives us. That is what we should take away from reading this passage here, these passages here in Ephesians and Colossians. So remember to be patient with others and their shortcomings. So to recap the points that I've gone over for a moment, point number one was patience while suffering abuse. Point number two was patience while being provoked. And point number three that we just discussed was patience while tolerating others. My fourth point today is patience while enduring trials. Patience while enduring trials. Now, up till now, the first three points I have made have pretty much been about being patient with others who mistreat or provoke us, or when they get on our nerves. But having that quality of long-suffering helps us patiently react to people who wrong us somehow. But in order to patiently grow through some type of trying circumstance in our lives requires endurance and perseverance. When you think of endurance, most of us think of that ability to push through, to forge ahead, to keep going under adversity, under hardship or strain. Perseverance is our ability to keep moving forward in spite of that. So we see how these two words sort of tie together. Both are translations from the same Greek word, hupomone. Hupomone. Now, how we view these two words may differ slightly, but they both still represent a quality of patience while going through trying circumstances. You may be battling some type of fatal illness or disease that requires patient endurance. You may be facing some type of ill treatment by other people at the workplace, or even worse yet, at home. You may be struggling with some aspect in your spiritual life that's just not letting you move forward in your walk with God. Whatever source of adversity we are facing, brethren, the key is to keep pushing ahead, to endure and persevere with patience. We need to continue that walk and remember to rest our burdens on God and Jesus Christ. Remember, and you can just jot this down, remember in Matthew 11, verses 29 and 30, where it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus Christ admonishes us to put our burdens, our trying circumstances we face, on him, lifting them off our shoulders, so to speak. We need to remember that God is ultimately in control of all circumstances, working out events for our good, as we have faith and trust in him. We may not always recognize this control. We may not always see it. But we must believe in it, brethren. We have to believe in our Heavenly Father's faithfulness and his promises that he made to us. Remember the story of Job and how he had such a wonderful, large family? He had wealth in land, in crops, in animals. But that was all taken away by Satan because God let him do so. This was to test Job's faith. His family was taken away from him in death. His crops burned, his livestock gone. Yet Job persevered. He endured. He didn't know why all these unforeseen incidents happened to him, but he came to the place where he accepted what God had allowed to occur in his life. Most often we, too, don't see the purpose of trials in our lives, do we? But knowing that others before us went through the same or similar situations should give us hope. We should be encouraged, and it's in the knowledge that we continue to endure and make it through whatever it is we are going through. This is having patience while persevering, brethren. The beginning part of Hebrews chapter 12 as we all know, is likened to a long-distance race that we must run with endurance. It's a lifelong race and not just some quick sprint or dash, so it takes perseverance on our part to finish. So if you would, turn to Hebrews 12, and we'll start here in verse 1. Here it says, "Wherefore we also, since we also surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," and that is referring to the previous chapter, where it talks about all of those heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance," or we could put in that word patience here, "the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus endured death on the cross and the scourging that took place before that, so that each and every one of us sitting here today, along with the thousands of other faithful believers of God, that we all could that have come and gone, may someday have a chance at eternal life, to be part of God's eternal family. And if we endure, if we persevere through our hardships and trials, while suffering, while running our lifelong race of faith, while enduring, the reward, the hope we have, is an eternal future alongside God and Jesus Christ, when we will never die. Yes, it's hard to face trying situations and circumstances in our lives. Nobody wants to have things go badly for them, or for their loved ones, for that matter. But the trials that God either sends or allows to develop should develop patience in us and develop endurance in us. And that patient endurance produces perseverance, which produces hope. And it is through this hope, through the examples laid before us in our Bibles, that we persevere and we make it through. My last point that I'll go over with, point number 5, is patience while waiting on God. Patience while waiting on God. For any of us, some of the most frustrating times we experience in our lives are when what we see or feel is a wrong that's being committed, either to us or to someone else, and we want God to take action. We want God to fix the situation. So we may get down on our hands and knees and pray about it. We may even fast about it as well. And so a day goes by, a week goes by, a month, 3 months, a year, and nothing seems to happen. Do we start to ask God why he hasn't heeded our prayers? Do we start to lose faith? Do we in fact lose our patience with God at times? That's because in our moments of weakness, when we are all struggling, when we are suffering, most of us come up short on patience, don't we? Or what if a family member, relative, or close friend has some type of debilitating disease or illness? They've been battling, say, cancer for the past 3 years, gone through all the necessary steps to fight off the disease, and they think that they've got it licked, just to have the doctor tell them that they found more cancer in a different part of their bodies. And so now they have to endure more suffering, more pain, more surgery, more chemotherapy. There are many moments in life when we experience these and other types of frustrations. For any who come to these moments, they serve only one purpose in the end. It is to bring us closer to our Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. We cannot know the answer to why. In every case of suffering and tragedy and in this life, it overwhelms us when we even try to consider it. We need to realize that God sees and knows all. He knows when patience and perseverance is called for in any given situation and not us. We may think we know, but we really don't, do we? Perhaps God has another purpose in mind. Maybe He's allowing whatever it is to happen in our lives. The one answer that I have arrived at is this. Do not abandon God in your moment of suffering. Let it draw you to Him in a way that no other event could. Cry out to Him for grace and help and the ability to endure that situation. In any case, we need to count on, have faith in, and rely on God and know that He is working things out for good. If you would, turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 for our concluding scripture today. And we'll start in verse 1. James 1:1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Now in my Bible, the heading for this next part says, Profiting from Trials. So James writes to us here, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces, what? Produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So we see here, brethren, that patience is a key to eventually understanding why bad things happen to good people. It is, in fact, a very difficult virtue to build into our life. But if we can master this, if we can stand on we'll stand on the threshold of greater understanding in this life and the challenges that we face in it. So be patient and let God strengthen your heart and work things out in His time. There will come times when we need patience just to be patient with God and let Him do what He wills for us in our lives. And we need to remember that as well. So to summarize, brethren, the 5 points that we've gone over today. Point number 1 was patience while suffering abuse. Point number 2 was patience while being provoked. Patience while tolerating others was point number 3. Patience while enduring trials was point number 4. And point number 5 that I just went over was patience while waiting on God. We have seen today that there is much more to this fruit of the Spirit called patience than we first thought. And I hope by now that we all realize that. God is working with us now, brethren. He gives us time. He gives us some space to live our lives as we see fit. He is very patient with us, as we have seen from that parable in Matthew 18. Remember the story of the 10,000 talents versus the 100 denarii? And we know that that is just an example. But it does show us how much God is willing to be there for us, to forgive us, to be patient with us. And He expects us to be patient as well in any situation that we face. The fruit of patience in all its forms, long-suffering, forbearance, endurance, perseverance, is a fruit that is closely associated with God's Holy Spirit working in us. All human character traits of godliness grow out of and have their foundation in His Spirit, and we must be filled with it, just as we heard about in the messages on Pentecost not so long ago. But the fruit of patience grows in a special way, through our endurance, through suffering, and through trials. And so I hope that this has been a good reminder to all of us today that we need to let patience in all its forms grow in our daily lives.